This is Playhouse 90. From the stages and studios, producers and playwrights of the world, Playhouse 90. Tonight we present a play written by Philip Levine called The Weather for Murder. This is the story of Sarah and Elsie, who run a small but busy tea shop in an English village. Elsie aspires to becoming a great detective story writer, and her enthusiasm is considerably heightened when the Everett home catches fire and a charred body is found among the ruins. Philip Levine has succeeded in creating the atmosphere of a typical English village, and at the same time, weave a story that will keep you enthralled. Listen now to The Weather for Murder, produced for Playhouse 90 by Michael Silver.
Did I call? I've been shouting myself silly for the last 2 minutes.
Really? I was concentrating.
What on earth are you doing up here?
I had a sudden inspiration for a story. A most brilliant idea, Sarah. I was typing.
Well, surely it could have kept till later. You know we're rushed off our feet between 10 and 11. It's bad enough for the two of us. I can hardly cope on my own.
Oh, but this is the most ingenious idea. A whodunit, and it's set in one of those laundrettes. You know, where people take their laundry.
I'm afraid I can't stop and chatter now.
Oh, but Sarah, I must...
Listen, dear, listen. Now, leave that for now and come along down.
Oh, Mr. Everett, the usual.
Please. I seem to have missed the rush.
Yes, we were frightfully busy earlier on. I was just about to have my coffee, too.
Well, join me, if you like.
Oh, may I? Anything with your coffee?
Just a plain bun, I think.
Right. I shan't be a jiffy. Yours is half and half, if I remember rightly.
Yes. No milk for you?
No, I prefer mine black. They say it keeps the mind alert and clear, and that's very essential if one's doing creative work, don't you think?
How's the writing coming along?
Not too badly, but it's so difficult finding new ideas.
I don't doubt it. Still, I admire you for even trying. So many people just talk about writing, never do anything. I think it's very courageous of you.
Oh, excuse me just a moment. There's the postman. Oh, dear.
Oh, another rejection.
Sorry to say.
Never mind. There are a great many other publishers.
No, I'm afraid there aren't. I've exhausted them all.
Well, then, there'll be other novels.
But I was so sure I'd sell this one. Into the waste paper basket, I suppose.
Tell me what it was about.
Oh, I'd hate to bore you.
Oh, you never bore me, Elsie. On the contrary. Now, come along.
Well, it was about a private detective in Soho.
Do you know any private detectives?
No, I don't.
Have you ever been to Soho?
No, but I've seen pictures and read books.
Well, that's the trouble, you see. The best novelists write from their own experience.
Possibly, but... Well, I could hardly write about Froxdean, could I? So dull and boring. And this tea shop would hardly make a very exciting background for a thriller.
I wouldn't say that. At least you know the people. And murder isn't limited to any particular background or class. I'll bet there isn't a person anywhere who hasn't thought about murdering someone at some time.
Oh, not you, surely, Mr. Everett.
Oh, you'd be surprised. And whilst I remember... I wish you'd call me Victor.
Oh, well, as long as Mrs. Everett won't object.
Why should she? Now, if you'll take my advice, Elsie, you'll start your next novel nearer home.
I'll try. I must say I'm getting a little tired of rejection slips. Oh, more coffee.
Just a little.
Oh, by the way, I knew there was something I wanted to ask you. What happened to that dog of yours?
My dog?
Yes, Dandy. Wasn't that what you called him? Such a beautiful Labrador and quite the best coat I've ever seen.
I'm afraid I had to get rid of him.
Oh, not destroy him.
No, I had to find him a new home.
Oh, how could you part with him?
It wasn't through choice. Nora, Mrs. Everett, felt there wasn't room for him in the cottage. We've one or two fine pieces, and, well, he was rather a large dog.
Oh, what a pity.
Yes, but one has to give and take in marriage.
I suppose so. Anyway, you still have your dahlias.
Well, no, I haven't, actually.
But I thought you had a wonderful collection.
I did, but Nora doesn't care for dahlias. She says they attract blackfly. We've switched to a herbaceous border.
Oh, how sad. Oh,
not really. I must say those blackfly were a bit of a nuisance.
I heard that one year you took almost every prize at the county show.
That's quite right, I did. Before you and your sister came here. Before I remarried, several summers ago. It's odd when I think back now. Just Dandy and I, my dahlias, blackfly and all.
Your wife's from London, isn't she?
Yes, though we first met on a cruise. It's funny how it happened. My first holiday in years. She was a science teacher, you know. You wouldn't think it to look at her, but she's terribly bright, good brain. We seemed to get thrown together on the cruise. We were never out of each other's company. When I got back, I found I missed her. I wrote, and then out of the blue, she turned up here. And, well, that was that. Not terribly romantic. Won't give you much copy, I'm afraid.
I'm surprised you stayed on in Froxdean.
Well, at first, Nora was all for moving back to town. Then suddenly she changed her mind. I think it was the cottage.
Well, I don't blame her. I've only seen it from the outside, but it looks adorable. I love that beautiful bay window.
That's the lounge.
Oh, is it? It looks rather like an inn with that, what do you call it, bubble glass?
Bullion glass.
Oh.
Genuine, too. Not this mass-produced stuff. Gets a bit warm in the summer, but I must say I find it delightful. The only thing is, one has to be careful with the furniture, or the sun can blister the varnish.
Still, with such a delightful cottage, you must be enjoying your retirement.
Oh, I'm not completely retired, not by a long chalk. I'm still on the boards of several companies.
Oh, are you?
Yes, Harmsworth's, Mutual Investments, not forgetting Berridge's.
What, the big London store?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I'll be driving up to a board meeting tomorrow. You wouldn't be going up to town, would you?
Me?
I thought perhaps I could give you a lift. We might have a bite of lunch together.
Oh, well, thank you, but I rarely go up to town.
Oh, well, some other time. There's your sister. It was time I was off. I'll take my bill, if I may.
Good morning, Mr. Everett.
Hello.
I'm glad I've caught you. I wonder if I might have a word with you.
Certainly.
Here, Elsie, take this seat tidy in for Millie, would you? And then say you may as well take these groceries while you're at it.
Oh, yes, Sarah.
Oh, and tell Millie there'll be a delivery round about 3 this afternoon.
Righto.
Well, now, I hope I'm not holding you up.
No. What can I do for you?
Well, to come straight to the point, it's about that small vacant plot next door. I understand from my solicitors that it belongs to you.
I bought it some years ago. It was part of the old Lingfield estate.
Well, my sister and I were thinking of enlarging the shop. We're rather cramped here, as you can see.
You'll need permission from the local council.
Oh, I realize that. But I don't see why they should object.
Neither do I. Only, if you're thinking of making an offer, don't make it to me.
I'm sorry?
I made over a few properties to my wife at the time of our marriage. And I have a feeling that that's among them.
Oh, I see.
But there's no harm in your having a word with her. I'll tell you what, I'll mention it to her when I get back. and ask her to telephone you.
Would you? I'd be most grateful.
But knowing my wife, I'd better warn you, she'll drive a hard bargain.
Elsie, that wasn't Mrs. Everett on the phone, by any chance?
No, Mrs. Clark from the post office. She asked me to put aside a jam sponge.
I should think Mr. Everett forgot to speak to her.
Oh, if he promised, then I'm sure he will. He's a frightfully nice man. Such perfect manners.
Yes, but easily led. Fancy handing property to his wife just like that.
Well, that shows how considerate he is. I admire him for it. I think Mrs. Everett's a very fortunate woman.
You're not the only one. From what I hear, there were quite a few broken hearts in Foxbean when the banns went up. Isn't that right, Millie?
Oh, yes, Mum. There were dozens who had their eye on him. Well, a cottage and car and pots of money. I wouldn't have said no to him myself. Still, he hasn't done bad for himself, has he? I mean, she's a very smart person, not at all bad-looking. Got pots herself, I expect.
Sharp, Elsie.
Right, Sarah.
Oh, that smells like the scones. Here, take it off or you'll burn your fingers.
Oh, good morning, Mrs. Everett.
Good morning. I'll take a wholemeal loaf and a small gâteau. Oh,
certainly.
Oh, is that all you've got? Chocolate. The one I had the other day was rather sickly. Haven't you anything else?
Oh, well, we've a new line, walnut cream. I'm sure you'd like that.
May I see one?
Well, Millie's just topping them with walnut.
Well, I've a lot to do this morning. How long will they be?
5 minutes, no more.
Well, if I've got to hang around, I'll have a cup of coffee.
Oh, well, I shan't keep you waiting long. Mrs. Everett's just come in. Oh. She's staying for coffee.
Really?
Would you believe it, Sarah? She said our chocolate gâteau was sick.
Oh, what nonsense. We've never had any complaints before.
I know. I almost gave her a piece of my mind.
Oh, well, I hope you didn't.
Of course not. I persuaded her to try one of the walnut creams. Are they ready yet?
Almost. I'll be through in a jiffy.
Well, then I'd better take in her coffee meantime.
No, Elsie. I'll serve her. It'll be a good opportunity to talk to her about that plot next door. Black or white, Mrs. Everett?
Just a dash. That's fine.
Oh, there's no sugar bowl. Just a moment.
Don't bother. I take saccharine. I've got my tube somewhere.
Of course, I should have remembered by now. Anything else for you?
Not just now. Though I'm glad you brought the coffee in, Miss Pierce. It saves my telephoning. My husband mentioned you've been inquiring about the plot next door.
Yes. As he may have told you, we're anxious to enlarge our premises.
Business is flourishing, isn't it?
Oh, no, not exactly. But as you can see, we're rather limited for space. In our busy time, it becomes rather chaotic.
I see. Well, what sort of figure had you in mind?
Oh, I'm not very sure. Judging from what we gave for these premises, I suppose the land must be worth about 300.
300? Oh, Miss Pierce, you're way behind the times.
Oh.
In the past year, prices have simply soared.
Have they?
Don't you read your newspapers? Building lands at a premium, particularly in the rural areas. There are so many restrictions under town and country planning.
Oh, but I'm sure we'd get permission to build.
Yes, but then so could a great many other people. Yours isn't the first inquiry I've had. No, I'm afraid I couldn't let that plot go under 1,200.
1,200? Oh, but that's exorbitant. Why, it's more than we paid for our entire premises.
Then all I can say is you were very lucky that you purchased when you did.
But sure.
Now, I don't think there's much point in our discussing the matter any further, do you? So if my ghetto's ready, I'll settle the bill and then I must fly. I have a very busy day ahead of me.
Elsie, if you're on your way to the kitchen, put on the other fan, will you? It's terribly close.
Oh, yes, I intended to. Two pots of tea, Millie, one china and an egg on toast.
Isn't it too warm? I'm sweltering.
Me too, you can say that again.
Still, I suppose I should be thankful I've no traffic duty. I wouldn't fancy that with the thermometer touching 80.
Is it as high as that, Sergeant?
A sudden high ridge sweeping in from the Azores.
Oh, is that what it is?
For once the experts were right.
Well, it's been a very poor summer so far.
Well, that's your telephone.
Answer that, would you, Millie?
Yes, Mum.
Oh, it's all right. Millie's taken.
Phew, I could do with an issue of tropical kiss.
Oh, I'm sure you'll feel refreshed once you've had your tea.
Well, let's have an ashtray while you're here, would you?
Oh, certainly. Here you are. Oh, I meant to tell you, Sergeant. I've given up writing stories about private detectives. I'm going to concentrate on something nearer home from my own experience.
That should be interesting.
Sergeant Foster.
Yes, what is it, Millie?
Oh, just now.
Now, just take it easy. Catch your breath.
That was your constable. He's had an urgent call. The Everett cottage is on fire.
I'm afraid there's little we can do, Sergeant. Like a raging furnace in there.
Are you sure there's no one inside?
My men couldn't get within 10 yards of the place. We can only hope and pray.
How do you think it started?
Oh, your guess is as good as mine. The county will be investigating later. That old timber construction's a menace. Once it's alight, there's no holding it.
Hey, some blaze.
Oh, we're lucky it's isolated. At least there's no damage to surrounding property.
You'll have to watch that garden shed.
Not to worry. My men have got their eyes on it. I see we've got ourselves an audience.
Yes, half the village have turned out by the look of it.
I wish they'd keep their distance. They're getting a bit too close to that fence.
Leave it to me. I'll handle them. All right now, folks. Keep well away from that fence. Come along, get back now.
Sergeant, what a pity about that lovely cottage.
Elsie, what are you doing down here?
I never could resist the fire.
I must see. You won't see another one like this in a hurry. That roof will be in a minute.
Is Mrs. Everett safe?
Oh, we're keeping our fingers crossed.
She was in the shop this morning.
Was she? What about her husband?
He's gone up to London for a board meeting. He mentioned something yesterday.
Where was this meeting, did he say?
Yes, he's a director of Belgium.
Oh, that's helpful. I'll try and get him on the floor right away. No, you get away from that fence, please.
Hello, Everett speaking. Well, please come to the point, Sergeant. I'm in the middle of a board meeting.
What?
When did this happen? I see. Is my wife all right? Well, if she returns before I get there, tell her I'm on my way back. Yes, I should be there by 6. Yes, thank you, Sergeant.
Honestly, Elsie, I don't understand people at all. They only have to hear the word fire, and they start behaving like a bunch of school children.
Oh, Sarah, it's just natural curiosity.
Well, I can't see anything natural about it. It's morbid, if you ask me. I've never seen such a stampede. You, Millie, the place emptied itself so quickly, you'd have thought the tea shop was on fire.
You should have come too, Sarah.
I find little joy in watching other people's property going up in smoke.
It was still burning when I left. Poor Mr. Everett. Oh, he'd be so upset.
Yes. Well, I hope he had the good sense to be insured.
But that'll hardly compensate for the loss of such a charming cottage and all the inconvenience. I mean, where will the Everetts live?
Oh, they'll have to find a hotel.
Oh, to think of all their beautiful antique furniture.
Then it'll be replaced if it's insured.
Oh, but Sarah, it's not the same.
Oh, be practical, Elsie. One chair's the same as another.
But they've lost everything except the garden shed.
Oh, it's about time Millie was back. I've something to say to her, gallivanting off without so much as a by your leave.
Oh, there she is.
And about time.
I'm so sorry, ma'am. The most terrible thing's happened.
No.
The fireman found a body in the cottage.
Oh, no.
It's Mrs. Everett, there's no doubt. And to think she was in here only this morning.
Now, use your handkerchief, Millie, for goodness sake. Are they certain it was Mrs. Everett?
Yes. I heard the fireman say, and Sergeant Foster was there, too. He phoned Mr. Everett, but they didn't know at the time.
How dreadful.
It was dreadful, ma'am. They had a police car there, and she was all covered in a sheet.
Yes, now, all right, Millie. Now, just pull yourself together. Get these tea things washed up, and then you can go off.
All right, ma'am.
Poor Mr. Everett.
Yes, very sad. But people get over these things. They're just like everything else.
Still, Sarah, we could offer to help.
Help? In what way?
It's an awful thought. The poor man will have to stay alone in some ghastly hotel room. Couldn't we offer to put him up for a day or so?
Well,
Well, I suppose
we've got a spare room, and he wouldn't be too much bother. He could eat down here. Oh, surely it's the least we can do.
Well, providing he hasn't made any other arrangements. After all, he might prefer the hotel.
I'll go across to the police station when we've closed. I expect he'll be there later on.
In here, Mr. Everett.
Thank you, Sergeant.
I know it's been a dreadful shock, sir. I hate to have to ask you to do this, but it's necessary for identification purposes.
I understand.
Just a glance, that's all, sir. She was lying face downwards, so it's not as bad as it might have been.
That's my wife, Sergeant.
Here, steady, sir.
I'll be all right.
There's a deed box in my office. I'm afraid that's all of the salvage.
Thank you. I suppose I'd better look around for a room of some sort.
Oh, no need to bother, sir. Miss Pierce from the tea room said they'd be happy to put you up.
Really? I don't know whether I want to bother them.
Oh, they'd be only too pleased. You'd be much more comfortable there than in an hotel. And we shall need you for the inquest.
Victor Everett, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Do take a seat, Mr. Everett.
Thank you.
You are Victor Everett, formerly of Hillside Cottage, Meadows Lane, Frogsby.
Yes.
On what occasion did you last see your wife?
On the morning of the 16th of July, at about 10:30. I was due at a meeting in London that afternoon, but I thought I'd go up a little earlier. My wife had some shopping to do. We left the house together, as I say, around 10:30.
And later that day, at approximately 6:15 p.m., you identified the body of a woman at the Frogsdean police station as that of your wife.
Yes.
And now, Mr. Everett, although we shall be calling an expert witness in a few moments, have you any comments to make at this stage as to the cause of the fire?
No, I'm afraid I haven't. We used no gas in the house. My wife preferred electricity. And the entire cottage was rewired by the board about 18 months ago, shortly after my wife and I were married.
Was your wife in the habit of smoking?
No.
Were there any inflammable materials stored in the house?
None, as far as I know. I've a bottle of thinners and some methylated spirits, but they're kept in the garden shed, well away from the house.
So you can offer no explanation as to the cause of the fire?
I'm afraid I can't.
Thank you, Mr. Everett. You may step down. Mr. R.A. Jenkins, County Fire Officer. Mr. Jenkins?
I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
On the 16th of July, you examined the debris and what remained of the residence known as Hillside Cottage, Meadow Lane, Frogsdean.
I did, yes.
And did you reach any conclusion as to the origin of this fire?
I did, sir.
Will you state these conclusions to the court?
Certainly, sir. I examined the gas outlets and the main electricity supply. There were no signs of the fire originating from either of these points. Samples of the debris were tested for the presence of volatile, inflammable materials, but these proved negative.
Do go on, Mr. Jenkins.
I've had extensive experience locating what is known as the seat of the fire. That is its point of origin. And I'm of the opinion that the fire commenced in the region of the lounge window.
How exactly?
Well, the afternoon of the 16th was extremely hot, sir. Temperatures were in the 80s. The lounge window contained bullion gas. Now, due to several factors, the angle of the sun, the bubble in the glass, the sun's rays were concentrated onto the curtains, rather like a child playing with a magnifying glass. I should say that the temperature reached, well, it might have been in the neighborhood of 200 or 230 degrees centigrade, sufficient to ignite a certain make of cotton or similar fiber.
Were they of cotton?
I can't say, sir. They were completely destroyed in the fire. Though the residue suggests that they may have been, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Jenkins. You have been most helpful.
Thanks, sir.
In the case of Venora Everett, aged 42, who died in the fire at Hillside Cottage, Frogsdean, we have heard the evidence of her husband, also the police pathologist and the county fire officer. And from their evidence, it appears that this fire was the accidental outcome of the combination of a number of elements.
Come in.
I hope I'm not disturbing you, Mr. Everett. I brought a few flowers from the garden to help cheer up the room.
I saw you cutting them. I didn't realize they were for me. Dahlias, too.
Are you quite comfortable?
Very. I really can't thank you and your sister enough. You've been so very kind.
Oh, not at all.
Though I don't think I can impose on you very much longer. I've been here over a week.
You're no trouble at all. It's quite a change having a man around the house.
I'm negotiating for another cottage, but these things take a little time.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, you're welcome to stay till everything's settled.
Oh, thank you. How's the writing coming along?
Well, I've been thinking about what you said, finding a subject nearer home.
Yes?
And to tell the truth, I did get an idea. But on reflection, I thought it might be in bad taste.
Well, that immediately makes me prick up my ears. Tell me more.
Must I?
Oh, come now. It surely can't be as bad as all that.
Well, you might change your mind if I tell you.
Try me.
Well, if you must know, it came to me during the inquest.
The inquest?
On your wife.
Please do go on.
Well, I thought it might be an idea to start my story with a fire in the village.
Oh, well, that's rather old hat, isn't it? I mean, it's been done so many times.
Yes, I suppose it has. I haven't really worked it out in detail. I thought I'd talk it over with Sergeant Foster when he drops in for tea. Unless, of course, you object.
Why on earth should I? No, do go ahead. Though, personally, I should have looked for something a little more original.
Have you seen the Gazette, Sergeant Foster?
What's that?
Yeah, there's a picture of you and Mr. Everett leaving the coroner's court.
Oh, is there? Those reporters, they can't leave well alone.
Look, Mr. Everett's turned away slightly, but it's a very good likeness of you.
Oh, let's see. Oh, that's an insult if ever I saw one. By the way, I noticed you at the inquest, Elsie. You're scribbling away in your notebook.
Oh, did you, Sergeant? Yes, you see, finding myself in the coroner's court amidst tragedy, as you might say, I had a sudden inspiration.
Out for another thriller.
Why, yes, the best novelists always write from their own experience.
Yeah, watch your step. That sort of thing can upset people, you know. Mr. Everett, I think...
Oh, he doesn't mind. Besides, I shouldn't use real names.
If you did, my girl, you'd find yourself with a libel suit.
Oh, no, Sergeant. My village will be entirely fictitious. I was going to call it Medborough or something far removed. I wouldn't think of giving offense.
Well, who's your choice for a victim?
I had in mind an attractive middle-aged woman.
Yeah, that's pushing coincidence a bit far, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, I see what you mean. Oh, well, she could be young, I suppose. It doesn't really matter.
What about the method? Given that any thought?
Well, to be honest, the thing that sparked me off, forgive the pun, was the idea of the bullion glass. But instead of being an accident, the fire is caused deliberately in my book.
Sounds a bit far-fetched to me.
Well, I dare say it is. But I was hoping you'd be of some help instead of putting a damper on it.
But you must be realistic, Elsie. Perfect murder requires, among other things, perfect timing. No murder would ever leave things to chance. What happened at Hillside Cottage depended on quite a few things outside anyone's control. Well, for one thing, the weather. Then Mrs. Everett being alone and dropping off like that. And as the fire expert said, the choice of curtains.
Oh, yes, you have a point there.
Mind you, I suppose there is such a thing as dramatic license. Anything's possible when you come to think of it. Off the record, of course, I suppose your murderer could have kept his eye on the weather reports. Just waiting for scorcher. But without climate, he'd have to wait half a lifetime. And then to make sure the victim did drop off, you could always slip her a couple of sleeping tablets.
Oh, but wouldn't that show with the autopsy?
Oh, it depends what's left of the victim. In a case of fire, it's unlikely. Then regarding the curtains... Suppose one could persuade the victim to buy cotton. Oh, that's stretching the imagination a bit, isn't it?
Yes, it doesn't sound very convincing. Anyway, even if the husband did go to all that trouble, how on earth would I catch him out?
The husband, you mean?
Yes, how would I solve it?
That's your little problem. I'm no writer. Though, for what it's worth, in my experience, criminals invariably have to lie somewhere along the way. And the trouble with liars is that they have such bad memories. Sooner or later, they drop a clanger. So, when you settle down at your typewriter, I'd bear that in mind if I were you.
Oh, forgive me, Elsie. I didn't realize you were in here.
Do come in, Mr. Everett. You're at liberty to use the sitting room.
I've just been across for an evening paper. I bought you a magazine.
Oh, how nice of you. But you should.
Very little in return for your kindness.
The pot's still warm. Would you like a cup?
Thank you. No, don't get up. I'll see to it. Would you like a second? It'd give me pleasure to serve you for a change.
Oh, well, thank you. Oh, Sarah's at a club committee meeting.
Another?
She can't sit still for a moment. Always doing something. Been like that all her life, even as a child.
It must get rather lonely for you.
Oh, I'm used to it.
I'm afraid that is one thing I've never got used to, loneliness. I'm a person who needs companionship.
Oh, you must miss her dreadfully.
Who?
Your wife.
Oh, yes.
I'm sorry. That was tactless of me.
Not at all. One can't grieve forever, can one?
Oh, do forgive me. Would you like a slice of cake? It's chocolate.
Yes, I think I will. But not too large a slice.
It's our own make, you know.
Yes, I've had your gâteaux on several occasions. They're excellent. But the one I'm really partial to is that new one of yours. What do you call it? Walnut cream.
Yes, that's one of Sarah's creations. Walnut cream, did you say?
Yes, even Nora was aghast when I asked her for a second helping. Don't look so surprised. I've a very sweet tooth. I'm sure you must have noticed.
Yes, of course.
What is it? Are you all right?
I'm sorry. I hope you won't think I'm being rude, but I have a slight headache. I think I'll have an early night.
Elsie? Oh, in bed already.
Yes, I was feeling rather tired.
Oh, well, then I won't disturb you.
No, don't go, Sarah. Did the meeting go well?
Very. The bazaar's to be held on the 25th. I've promised them one or two things.
I should give them a sponge or a gâteau.
I probably will.
That new one of yours, walnut cream, is very popular.
Yes, I'm rather proud of that one.
You know, Sarah, I've suddenly realized that Mrs. Everett had the very first one.
Did she? Oh, yes, you're right. I remember now, the day of the fire. Oh, I expect it must have gone up in smoke.
And if Mr. Everett drove up to London at 10:20, he couldn't have had any either.
Well, he's made up for it. He had several portions of tea yesterday.
Did he? But what I meant was...
Now, look, Elsie, you lie back and let me straighten your pillows.
Oh.
If you're feeling tired, this is no time to chat.
Your tea cake, Mr. Raven.
Oh, you'll be the ruin of me, Elsie. Oh, here, you're looking a trifle pale this morning. Have you had a bad night?
I didn't sleep too well.
You ought to try a nightcap, or maybe you need a tonic. Come across the shop and I'll fix you up.
No, I don't think it's anything to worry about.
Well, whatever else you take, don't let me see you with a prescription for sleeping tablets. Although I sell them, I don't approve of them. It's a bad habit to get into.
Well, I've never taken any.
Well, you shouldn't start. I squirm every time I see the word phenobarbital. It's almost a sign of the times.
Is it?
Confidentially. If you knew the number of people that take sleeping tablets, oh, you'd have a fit. In this village, too.
Really?
Mrs. Turner from the manor.
No.
Bert Parker at the pub. Mrs. Denton. Mr. Everett. Charlie Miller.
Mr. Everett, did you say?
Yes, I thought that would shake you. I filled in a prescription for him not a fortnight ago.
Oh, yes, he went out early.
Where to, did he say?
Well, he's gone along to the cottage, I think.
What? Hillside Cottage?
I expect so. so. Oh, fancy going back there. It gives me the creeps every time I walk by.
Look, Minnie, I'm going out for a little while. If my sister wants me, tell her I'll be back within the hour.
Oh, it's you, Elsie. You did startle me for a moment.
I'm sorry, Mr. Everett.
What are you doing here?
Just taking a stroll. I noticed the shed was slightly ajar, and I thought someone had broken in.
No, it's been under lock and key since the fire. I came by for a few tools.
What have you got there?
Hmm?
In your hand.
Oh, this tin, you mean. Just some sodium chlorate. Your path could do with some weeding. I thought I'd make myself useful. Also, one or two of your dahlias need staking. I have a whole pile of stakes going begging. Haven't used them since Nora switched to the herbaceous border. You don't mind my helping out in the garden?
No, I'm sure Sarah will be most grateful.
What about you? I was hoping to save you a few back-breaking jobs.
Thank you.
Elsie, I have a confession to make to you.
Oh?
It's odd. I don't normally find it easy to talk to people. Yet, with you, I never seem to have any difficulty. You know, I felt that from the first time I came into the tea room over a year ago.
You were saying something about a confession.
Yes. The trouble is where to begin.
Is it about your wife?
I can see one can't keep things hidden from you. The truth is, we didn't get on very well. During the last 6 months, it became almost unbearable. I won't go into all the reasons, but as most people around here know, she was an impossible woman. It was as much as I could do to sit in the same room with her. I escaped whenever I could. You know, your tea room was a haven to me. Oh, the fire was a shocking, dreadful thing to have happened. But if I'm going to be honest, I'm not unhappy.
Why are you telling me this?
Because I... Well, with everyone offering their condolences, it's been a great strain having to keep up this pretense. I needed to tell someone. Who better than you?
I think I ought to be getting back. It's almost lunchtime.
My car's parked down at the bottom of the lane. I'll give you a lift. Isn't the countryside beautiful this time of the year?
Yes. You were up early this morning, weren't you?
Hmm? I've always been an early riser.
Didn't you sleep well?
On the contrary, never better.
Sarah came in rather late. I thought she may have disturbed you.
No, I'm a very heavy sleeper.
Have you always been like that?
Since I can remember. I'm one of those people who drop off the moment their head touches the pillow.
Could I have my bill, Alfie, please? Coming with the shark.
Let's see. It was just the roast and the sweet, wasn't it?
Yes. Sorry to rush you. It's my busy day today. Pensions and post larders.
Oh, well, that's three and fourpence.
Oh, well, there we are.
Thank you. Oh, you haven't by any chance seen Sergeant Foster, have you?
Oh, he hasn't been in.
Not yet.
Oh, probably over at the county court. I should think he'll be in later on. I can't see him missing the roast. Pass me my coat, there's a dear.
Hi. Thanks.
Oh, by the way, is that Mr. Everett still with you?
Yes.
You know, my husband and I offered to put him up, but you got in first. Though I don't doubt he's comfortable here, but not much trouble either, is he?
None at all.
Oh, awful things have happened when you come to think of it. Such a nice man and so considerate to her, although she was a bit of a so-and-so. I've never known a man worry so much about his wife's health and comfort as he did.
Really?
Oh, yes. You know, she was very susceptible to rheumatism, was Mrs. Everett. Nothing serious, but, well, he'd never take any chances with her. This'll take a lot of believing, but do you know, he used to ring me up at the post office daily to put him through to London for the weather report. Never missed a day throughout the summer, just in case there was rain. And wasn't that considerate?
Yes, very.
Oh, look at the time. I'll have a queue of customers at the counter, I bet. Oh, here's Sergeant Foster now.
Hello, Mrs. Clark.
I can't stop. Just off. Bye.
The
Is the roast still on, Elsie?
Yes. Oh, I'm so glad you've come,
sir. Well, a generous portion for a hungry copper, eh? Then maybe we'll talk shop. But go on at the table. I'm famished. Go on.
Finished with your plate, Sergeant.
Ah, thanks, Sarah. Lovely bit of beef.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. Elsie's bringing the coffee.
I seem to be your last customer. Hope I'm not holding you up.
Oh, no. We won't start serving tea until about 3.
Coffee, Sergeant.
Oh, thanks, Elsie.
Oh, Elsie, while I remember, as it's half day tomorrow, I've promised to help with the bazaar. Will you be going out?
I don't think so. Why?
That new mixer should be arriving. I'd like someone here to take delivery.
Well, I'll be in.
Fine. Then I can let Millie off.
You certainly get busy around here, aren't you? I don't know how you find time to write.
Oh, I make a habit of writing so much each day. Usually after we close.
Find a solution to your story yet?
Yes and no. You remember that lie you spoke about?
Huh?
Well, I had an idea about that. In my story, the wife purchases a cake on the day of the fire, after the husband was supposed to have gone up to town. It was a new kind of cake, but the husband, at some later date, remarks on its flavor. Now, that would prove he was at the house at the time of the fire, wouldn't it?
Not bad, not bad. But it might be difficult to convince a jury.
But if one could prove he got a prescription for sleeping tablets, although he was a sound sleeper...
Possessing tablets doesn't mean he administered them.
But if one also has a witness to prove that he made daily inquiries about the weather on the pretense of his wife's rheumatism...
You'd still have to prove criminal intent. That merely sounds like the action of a considerate husband. No, you'd need something more definite than that. Now, I don't want to encroach on your territory.
Oh, please do, Sergeant.
I think some of the ideas are jolly good, eh? But you know where the weakness lies, don't you?
No.
Those curtains. You see, cotton's barely so. No matter how hot it was, you could never be certain they'd catch a light.
Unless one experimented.
Yeah, still a bit risky. No, what is needed is some really inflammable material. Say a piece of loose weave cellulose net.
Loose weave cellulose net?
Oh, after all, it's pretty commonplace, and it was hung in front of the other curtains. You see, no one would give it a second glance, and it wouldn't leave any trace.
Yes, it's certainly an idea.
And then, to be doubly sure, it would need impregnating with something highly inflammable. Not petrol or anything like that, but something odorless. Let me see. Something like sodium chlorate.
Sodium chlorate?
Yes, it's used in weed killers. But you can buy it neat without a prescription. I bet there's a tin in almost every other garden shade.
Yes.
I see I've given you something to think about, so I'd better take my leave. Oh, just one other thing. What about the motive?
Motive?
Well, one doesn't generally commit murder without rhyme or reason. Is the husband hard up?
No. I imagined him to be quite well off.
Oh, well, then, if it isn't revenge or fear, that leaves you with the other woman.
The other woman?
Yeah, you know, the sort of thing. A sympathetic friend in the background. Someone he can escape to when the wife's got too much for him.
Would a man really commit murder for another woman?
You're joking. What better motive than the eternal triangle? Why, sometimes the other woman doesn't even know it's happening. The husband waits until the wife's dead and buried before he drops in.
Really?
He's made you blush. I hope I haven't been too forward.
Oh, of course not, Sergeant.
It's time I was moving. Hope the book goes well. But if it sells, I shall expect my 10%.
Elsie? Oh, why the coat? Going out? Just coming in?
Won't be long, Sarah. I'm only going across to the draper's.
Oh, what for?
Nothing much. The sun bothers me when I'm at my typewriter. I thought I'd get a few yards of curtaining. Net.
Net? Oh, that's not terribly practical. Why don't you get a Venetian blind?
No, I'd rather have the net.
Yes, madam, can I help you?
Actually, all I need is some net.
Net? What kind of net?
Oh, loose weave. Cellulose net. Do you stock such a thing?
Of course, madam. One moment. This what you had in mind, madam?
I'm not terribly sure. You see, I believe a friend of mine bought some here, and I'd rather like the same.
Oh, when did they purchase it?
Oh, Oh, within the last month.
What was the name?
Oh, Everett.
Everett? Oh, yes, that was a postal inquiry. I remember we supplied 6 yards loose weave cellulose net. The receipt is addressed to V. Everett.
V?
Yes, is that your friend?
What? On second thoughts, I don't think this is quite right for me. I'll leave it if you don't mind. I must let Sergeant Foster know right away.
Elsie, the laundry came. I put yours in your room. This is for Mr. Everett.
Oh, well, I'll put it in his room. Mr. Everett? Mr. Everett? A deed box. Open.
Elsie, what are you doing? That deed box was in the drawer when I left it. Who?
I suppose you've destroyed the receipt.
Receipt? What receipt?
Don't pretend you know very well. The receipt from Harrington's for the cellulose net. You've gone quite pale, Mr. Everett. It's always something of a shock to be found out, isn't it?
Found out?
Is that all you can say? Not that I want to listen.
No, please.
Kindly let me pass, Mr. Everett.
No.
I asked you to let me pass.
Elsie, please, I must talk to you.
I see no point.
Look, I can guess what you must be thinking. You imagine that
Imagine? Really? Do you deny that you lied to the police and the coroner about the time you drove up to London?
No.
Or that you obtained a prescription for sleeping tablets when you sleep perfectly well without them?
You obviously know, so how can I deny it?
Or that for weeks you inquired daily about the weather?
That is perfectly true.
And finally, that you purchased 6 yards of loose cellulose weave netting and impregnated it with weed killer to make it more inflammable?
That I do deny.
But I saw you with the tin of sodium chlorate.
But I didn't purchase it.
Your name was on the receipt for the net.
No, I can explain.
Don't deny it. I saw it with my own eyes.
Look, I don't blame you for what you're thinking.
That's most kind of you.
If only you'd listen to me, just for a few moments. Look, I'll move away from the door. It's unlocked. You're free to leave whenever you like. But just a few minutes of your time is all I ask. Please.
All right.
You remember that I told you that Nora and I didn't get on well together?
Yes.
Well, that was something of an understatement. The marriage was a terrible mistake. I'd have left her, but frankly, I couldn't bear the thought of a divorce and a scandal. And if you asked why she stayed, I can tell you in one word. Money.
But I thought she was quite well off.
Believe me, when I married her, I wasn't concerned one way or another. But she deliberately lied to me about her income. The fact is, she hadn't a penny. And there was little doubt about why she married me. You were quite right. On the day of the fire, I was at the cottage for lunch.
Then why did you?
All in good time. After lunch, Nora went across to the hatch to pour out the coffee. There was a mirror facing the table, and I saw her drop some tablets into one of the cups. I imagined it was her saccharin. But as she turned, I realized that my cup was the one with the tablets.
She handed you the wrong cup?
So I thought. I suppose I should have said something, but it would have led to an argument. Nora was never one to admit to a mistake.
So what did you do?
Well, there was some dessert. She asked me if I would like some gâteau. The walnut cream. I said yes. While she was cutting it, I swapped cups. Imagine my surprise when I found there was saccharin in my cup after all. I thought I'd made a mistake and I could have kicked myself. There wasn't time to swap them again, so I quickly dropped a couple of pieces of sugar into her cup.
She didn't notice?
No. She suggested we take our coffee into the lounge. It was rather close in there, I remember. I wanted to get off to my board meeting, but Nora insisted I rest for a few minutes. We both sat there without a word when she suddenly dropped off. I was very grateful and crept out and left for London. During the drive, I reached for my handkerchief and found a small tube in my pocket.
What tube?
Nora's sleeping tablets.
Mr. Rayton said he supplied them to you.
He did. Nora arrived with everyone, including the local GP. Phenobarbitones are on prescription, so I had to pretend they were for me. It was the same with the weather reports. She got a sudden mania about her health. If I didn't check, she wouldn't step out of the house.
But what were the tablets doing in your pocket?
Well, may you ask. I'd seen them on her dressing table earlier on. It was full. But now, three tablets were missing. I was bewildered, and then I remembered the coffee.
You mean she tried to drug you?
I didn't know what to think. Then after the board meeting, I received the message from Sergeant Foster. He didn't mention Nora, but during the drive back, I felt uneasy. It suddenly struck me that Nora may still have been in the cottage. Understand, I was confused. Supposing those tablets were meant for me? She drugged my coffee and planted the tablets in my pocket to make it look as though I'd taken them myself. And the fire wasn't just an accident. I realized that if traces of phenobarbitone were found in Nora's stomach, it might prove very embarrassing for me, to say the least. That is why I lied about the time. Everything was destroyed in the fire except the old deed box. Nora used to keep odd bits of correspondence in it. I didn't look through it until after the inquest. I knew about the sodium chlorate, but it wasn't until I found this that I was certain Nora had tried to murder me.
Murder you?
There's little doubt. Here.
What is it?
It's a brief note from Harrington's confirming her order for the cellulose net.
But the receipt was it was marked out to you, V. Everett.
Her name was Venora. I called her Nora for short.
Venora?
The letter and the envelope were addressed to her, as you can see. She sent cash, but perhaps Harrington still have her letter, and you could easily confirm that she bought the weed killer in the High Street.
Why didn't you go to the police?
For what purpose would it serve? Another inquest, more questions, reporters. I had enough the last time. Besides, I'd have to admit about having lunch at the cottage. After all, if I could lie about one thing, I could lie about the tablets, the weather reports, and even the order for the net. I'll make no bones about it. You were the reason for my stupid evasions and lies.
I was.
Somehow, when I heard you typing away, I felt as though I was one of the characters. And yet, I so much wanted to be. Elsie, you know that, well, long before this ghastly thing happened, how do I have to put it into words?
No, but I will.
You mean that you even want to describe my feelings for you? I'm still to be a character in your thriller?
Of course not. When you look at me like that, I know that I've been spending hours and hours trying to create life with a typewriter and a sheet of paper. Oh, Victor.
You believe me, then?
Don't be silly. Of course I do. I know what you need, Victor Everett.
You do?
Let's go over to the shop and have a nice cup of tea.
Oh, bless you.
You have just heard The Weather for Murder, produced for Playhouse 90 by Michael Silver. In tonight's play, you heard John Hayter as Everett, Sheila Holliday as Elsie, Helen Braithwaite as Sarah, Pamela Murray as Millie, Roger Spence as Rayton, Gabriel Bayman as Foster, and Kerry Jordan as Jenkins. We hope you've enjoyed tonight's play. Be sure to tune in next week for another theater date with the great in Playhouse 90. So until next Wednesday's Playhouse 90, a very good night to you all.